No, yeah, yeah. I'm. I just move up and stuff. Move this up. Today, I want us to look at three, maybe four aspects about who God is, what He stands for, what He is against, for us to look at. For us to, we want to look at a couple of aspects about God. And for some, these words may be kind of surprising. But I want us to understand from the offset, God is, whether individuals believe it or not, God is judgmental. And if anyone has the power, the authority, the right to be judgmental, it's safe to say that God does. But what we are going to look at today, the question is, what is God judgmental against? What is God judgmental against? And the reason why that's so essential is because we're going to look at another J. You see, because God is judgmental against something, God has to prove what He stands for and what He stands against at the same time. And that's where we see the justice of God come into being. Amen? As we look at what God is judgmental against, the justice that He stands for, because these two are entwined, because they are entwined, all the passages we look at today will be 100% connected to these being entwined for the sake of now. Once these two are accomplished, now He can declare His justification or declare someone righteous. He declares them righteous with His righteousness now because His justice has been met against what He stands against. And for those of us who understand just the basic importance of the passage that we read, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us. I'm one of the us. Why am I one of the us? How did I become one of the us? Because I believe that Christ died for my sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. I believe that. Let's go right back to the beginning. Come to Genesis with me. Come to Genesis with me. Come to chapter 2 of Genesis. Chapter 2 of Genesis. God has man in the garden, and He tells man in Genesis chapter 2. Let's start at verse 15. Follow along. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And I like to start there because this is why we are going to see all of these. We're going to see why man needs to be justified. We're going to see the extreme that God went to keep His justice of what He said He is against. Because right from the very offset, we're going to see what God is judgmental against. And you're going to come to see that that's death and sin. But we got to come to see that, okay? So 15, He placed him in the Garden of Eden. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, thou mayest what? Freely eat. 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely what? So we have an understanding of Genesis chapter 2, that if God is going to be full of justice, He has to, first of all, keep this commandment and this word that He gave to man. And what commandment did He give them? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of. And the day that man do, they will surely. So, off the jump, guess what? We're looking to see if God is going to keep His word if man does eat from that tree. Will God keep His word? You know what? You know salvation always been based on? Man believing and taking God at His word. It never been based on anything else. If God didn't say it and you want to apply it, that's you going off your own merits, your own deeds, and God caused that disobedience. He doesn't reward that with justification, meaning His righteousness. Let's continue. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Still in Genesis, next chapter over. I want us to jump down to verse 6. I understand time is limited, and there's many verses I want us to get to. Now, the verses that happened prior, you have the serpent trying, and we're going to see that he does deceive Eve to do what? To go against what the Word of God declared that they should not do. Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's start at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In my Bible, the end of verse 6, I just got the word disobedience. That's disobedience towards God right there. And if God is going to be a God that is full of justice, if this one person in the entirety of the world that you should depend on to be full of justice is God. But the moment God doesn't keep his word, you have to doubt his justice system. You have to. So, disobedience, and God told them that the day they eat of it, they will surely. Now let's take a look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They disobeyed God, and now they got this shamefulness going on. And notice the verse says, they made for themselves aprons. You see them trying to do what God never intended for man to do. What do I mean by that? God never intended for man to try to cover up their sin by their own good deeds, their own good works. God, I repeat, God never intended for me, you, or anyone in the world to attempt to make themselves right by him by their own merits. Never intended that. But what do we see immediately after the fall that you still see in the year 2018? Man attempting to justify themselves before God by their own merit, their own works, and their own deeds. Watch the next verse. We're still in Genesis 3. The next verse, verse 8. Get this. In the presence of God, see the mind state of after they tried to close themselves. See their mind state. Verse 8. And the Lord heard the, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. There's some awareness of them being insufficient in them own self, in their own selves when the presence of God arrives. And they face them head on. They face them head on. They got this one thing in mind. Time. I repeat, there's some insufficiency of their own merit that they know don't stand up to what God's is. My righteousness in light of God's righteousness. Their righteousness in light of God's righteousness. They understand that they fall short of it. As we continue, let me say something at this time that I already said. God never intended for man to fix their sin problem. What's foolish is that man believes we can fix what's wrong with us and make our own self right towards God with our own resources. God never intended that. When you leave for today, if there's one thing I want you to take away from this, it's to understand God never intended that. God never intended that. One of the greatest false doctrines that always has been and still is living today, especially in this dispensation of the grace of God, is man try to appease God by their own merits and believe that makes them salvation, eternal life worthy. God never intended that. And if that sounds like a record that I'm trying to repeat, you got that right, I am. Never. What's proof that God never intended that? We're still in Genesis 3, right? Let's drop down to verse 15 now. Let's drop down to verse 15. I want you to see the second word or second letter in that verse, in verse 15. And God says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel. That's looking future at the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which have faith, it is the power of God. It's so powerful. We see God keeping his word when we understand the preaching of the cross. God says in that verse, and I will put enmity. He takes me out of the picture, and then he wants me to keep in mind, I'm going to set this hostility, I'm going to keep it there, but with this hostility, I do want you to know that in her seed it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Someone is going to have to do what God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. The day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. This cross is not a symbol of I'm religious. It's not a symbol of I believe that there's a God. I love when people ask me or want to start a conversation about it, because it opens the door for me talking about what I'm talking about today. It opens the door that I can look at the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross, and show individuals how judgmental God is. And we just go say this thing right now. He's judgmental against sin. I want you to take your name out the picture. The issue is our identification with the first Adam, sin against the word of God. God from the beginning always had beef with and never looked for you to fix the situation. Never look for me to fix the situation. And I say again, one of the greatest false doctrines that Satan is fighting to always push amongst individuals who even believe it's a God is, please trust your works for salvation. Please understand you are saved because of what you are doing. It's one of the greatest lies that ever lived, and it's still alive and living even in the pulpits of the world today. Now I want you to jump down to verse 20. I'm still in chapter 3. Verse 20. And verse 20 reads, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Get this. The fig leaves and the aprons that they put on, God totally saw as what? Insufficient, unacceptable. In my presence, I repeat, my self-righteousness, God is looking for me not to clothe myself with that in his presence and think that's acceptable unto him. Now, this is good news, because we will see as we go further in the lesson. This is good news. And I'm fine with, you know, someone speaking out and saying praise God and amen as well. I'm fine with that. So one of the couple of things we learned thus far, just these couple verses, my good deeds can't remove my sin that God is against. When they clothe themselves, what they clothe themselves with, that's what God did. Take that off. Take that off. God can't allow it. My good deeds can't produce the righteousness that God accepts. Understand this. Your good deeds cannot produce the righteousness that God accepts. It maybe does produce the righteousness that your husband accepts, that your wife accepts, that your neighbors accept, that individuals you go to with on Sunday after Sunday in the church pews accept. The issue is, does God accept with wide open arms my good deeds? In light of or in substitution of his righteousness to grant eternal life? That's the question, right? That's the question. Move on. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Come to Romans chapter 3 with me. Romans chapter 3, you simply want to read verse 23. And what we want to do, we want to continue to make a case for God being judgmental against sin. God in his justice, he stands against, right? Does God stand for or against sin? Against sin. Know what God always stands for? He always stands for his righteousness. Let me repeat that. He always stands for his righteousness. Let me repeat that. His righteousness. You see the emphasis I'm putting? His righteousness. Do you know what we get in trouble with? My righteousness. Our righteousness. Well, I'm not like them. Now that I'm saved, I always go to church every time the doors is open. I read my Bible every day. Whether you know it or not, you're not putting emphasis on His righteousness. His righteousness. His righteousness. And I repeat, Satan is at work with false doctrine concerning righteousness. He don't want you to put the emphasis on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants for you to condemn yourself and justify yourself by your good works. And the best way you know you are not doing that, you keep the emphasis on His righteousness. You keep it there. You totally separate your works from His righteousness. Praise God. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Powerful verse. Simple verse. To the point verse. How many have sinned? All that have sinned have come short of the glory of, come short of the glory of, which is falling short of His. How many? Am I part of the all? Everyone. To the what? To the point. Now, what's the big deal? God is after making this accessible to all. He was always in pursuit of making it accessible to all, apart from all of our good works. But it was always based on His word and His work. Satan don't want you to understand that. Please hear me today. Satan wants you to be ignorant of that. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1. So in the book of Romans, we're going to spend so much time in Romans. We're going to start at verse 28. We're going to start at verse 28. And every verse we go to is going to be a connection to the next verse we go to, and a connection to the next verse that we go to. And that's how you study the Word of God in an effective, rightly divided manner, line upon line, precept upon precept, proving that God is judgmental against all have sinned. You understand that? So because all have sinned, now the point that the verses that we're going to look at, is that they're going to prove, is these individuals who have sinned are worthy of, let's let the verse do the talking for us. Romans chapter 1, start at verse 28. This is giving a history lesson of mankind and still revealing attributes about us today. And verse 28 reads, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient." Okay, you don't want to this verse is saying you don't want to retain knowledge about me, things that I declare, things that I have made known unto you. Because you don't want to retain that knowledge, I'm going to leave you over to your own minds. Your own minds. I'm not going to pull you away from me. I'm going to leave you over to your resistance of me. Okay? And as we continue, verse 29, those things that are, that's not convenient, the end of verse 28 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. When individuals say, "God knows my heart," this is the stuff that's trapped up in there. For us to say we never felt this towards anybody in our life ever is someone that's just not being honest with themselves. They're not even concerned about you being honest with me. As we continue, 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or merciful. You know what, God always brings it back to information that He already made known. Watch this. Who, knowing the judgment of God, God doesn't act as though you don't know if you do. Who, knowing the judgment of God, what do they know? That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do this. And I want to say, as I bring that verse to a close, remember, God never intended for man to fix the problem. God is pointing out problems that because sin entered, what the fruits on the tree bear of sin. As he points those problems out, he's not telling man to fix them. He's going to point once again, just proving how judgmental he is. And that those issues concerning this sin, it does demand a death. It demands a death. God is not saying, no one has to die. What he is doing is keep putting emphasis on, let's see if you really keep your word, and let's see who is going to have to die in order for you to grant this access to your righteousness. Let's see if you're going to keep your word. Let's just see. Let's just watch. And give it to the Apostle Paul with this doctrine to prove that he didn't just keep his word, but he did something more exceedingly and abundantly than we all can even think, believe, even ask. So as we continue, go back to Romans chapter 3. Go back to Romans chapter 3. Do we understand what the word judgmental means? When I say God is judgmental against sin. See, not knowing what the word judgmental means, you may be like, judgmental people is like, that's not good, right? Like, you shouldn't be judgmental. What is it to be judgmental? It's having or displaying an excessive, extremely critical point of view of something or someone. God in no way, shape, or form ever lets his guard down of being judgmental against sin. He is critical beyond critical beyond critical of sin to the point that he says the wages of sin is. It can't get no more critical than that. It can't get any more critical than that. In no way is God passive when it comes to sin. How about this justice? I got this word justice up here. What defines justice? What is justice? And I repeat, this is essential. If you are going to keep God at his, if you're going to believe and take God at his word, you see his justice in the scriptures. You see what he stands for. You see what he stands against. And the justice is him keeping his word about what he stands for and keeping it about what he stands against. He keeps it. I repeat, he keeps his word. Wind blowing, notes. So the justice, to uphold righteousness and to punish the wicked, the wrong, the sin. If God is going to keep his word, he has to punish sin. If he's going to keep his word, somebody got to die. Somebody got to. As we continue, we're in Romans chapter 3, right? Romans chapter 3, let's start at verse 24. Remember verse 23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men sin, they all fall short. We all fall short of the righteousness of God, right? But now God is going to show us how he can grant us access into it. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. We got some words in there that we want to keep in mind, we want to remember. The first word is that word, being justified. What does that word justify mean? To be made right. To be made righteous. Not just to be made right. Not just to be made righteous, but to be made right and righteous by God. You get it? It's not me trying to perform or thinking that I am the one making myself righteous. Justification. God declares you righteous. Because you took God at his word. God declared you righteous. But here's the beautiful part about that. Look at also in that verse. How were you justified? Freely by his grace. You know what that takes out the way? Any and all works. Matter of fact, the moment me or you think that it wasn't freely, we want to change that. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. That purchase, that buy back. To justify us, the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer He had to die for our sins. And this is all in alignment with what we call the first verse we was in. It's the preaching of the cross, right? The preaching of the cross is so millennium, thousands, billions of miles away from any good work on your behalf. It's the preaching of the cross. And you know why it sounds so foolish to man today? Man can't shake that in spite of what they have done, what they plotting to do wrong. They can't buy the fact in their foolishness because they're not trusting what God has declared and made known. That God can still declare someone righteous who has done this and who has done that and who planned. Somebody with me on this one? Because we so fixed, we got our mind fixed on so much on, I see you. God sees me. God is concerned with, are you taking me at my word? Do you believe me? Do you believe how I declare man righteous today? Do you believe me? It's always the question. Watch verse 25. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Sometimes, and you might see it today with Pastor Lee, if you were snoozing or dozing off, there's particular verses that make him just pop like popcorn, and he gets super loud with you. And this is one of those, to declare his righteousness. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. Who righteousness is God declaring right now in that verse? The Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, through his what? He's taking your righteousness out of what? Your righteousness is not, it's not in the equation to declare you righteous. You know what that word propitiation means?
Paid it all.
Paid it all. A satisfying payment that paid it all. Will I take God at his word that satisfying payment that Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose on the third day according to the scriptures? Will I trust it as it paid it all? Or do I in one way or another want to add, will I let that be the satisfying payment? Or am I looking to add some little jot, some little tittle, some little... I ask of you, I implore you, I beseech you, I beg of you, take God at his word.
Amen.
That his death, his burial, his resurrection, apart from any, all, and every good work you can think of. Separate your good works from what God now is declaring. Then as we continue, the end of verse 25 says, through the forbearance of God. God forbear all for the sake of understanding Christ's finished work will one day usher in this sound doctrine that I'm now declaring to you today, this Pauline gospel. What I mean by forbear, God was restraining his wrath from being poured out on men with all their disobedience, with all their offenses, with all their sins. God was always forbearing, waiting for the moment to make all this known. Now we can see why we can even call this time the dispensation of the grace of God. Forbearance. God has the patience that's just beyond our... We can't fathom it. We can't fathom it. 26, to declare, I say at this time, there we go. You see that in 26? His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you?
Yes, the wind. The wind.
Did you get that? It said that he might be just and the justifier. Remember when I said about justification? Not just does God declare you righteous. Now, not just are you declared righteous. He is the one that's declaring you righteous. And here I am again about to say, do you know how many people who go to church faithfully and open their Bibles faithfully that fight against that? No, it's me. No. I give this and I do that. Well, no, it's God, but I still have to do of you are adding on to what God says is a satisfying payment. And let me repeat, if you are making any inclination that is some work on your accord that still has to be added, you're not taking God at His word. And we encourage you to continue to come to Grace Family Bible Church and look at some of the articles, some of the materials that we have on the web, that you can understand how to study the Word of God rightly divided, to understand why today our good works are prohibited for the sake of Him being saved, for the sake of even maintaining our salvation. Once saved, the Word of God encourages you how to maintain good works. Let me repeat. Once saved. Once saved. Once saved. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? You see that in verse 27? Where is boasting? Who can boast before God? By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of what? Faith. Nobody going to stand before God in this dispensation of the grace of God and say, but that one work did really seal me. That one thing that I struggled with that I finally let go of, that's how I know I'm saved. Watch this, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without what? The deeds of the law. Well, I let that verse mean what it said. I like that C word. Therefore, we conclude. Let's go. Can it be a done matter? Can you rejoice in the Lord and know that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and your eternal life is never in jeopardy? Can we just rejoice in the Lord for that? Romans, you're still in Romans. Let's go to chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4. Last verse in chapter 4. All I'm pointing at, I'm continuing to point at, God is judgmental against sin. All these verses you keep seeing about blood, you see about propitiation, that's proof that God is judgmental against sin. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Watch verse 25 of Romans chapter 4. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Did you catch that word, offenses? See, when we was in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, that word offenses, is that singular or plural? That's plural. That's plural, right? Offenses. All those things that God accused us of and is right in accusing us of, Christ said, all those accusations of truth towards all men, I bear them all for y'all. I bear them all for y'all. And it's nothing but truth with all these accusations. Did you know one of those accusations in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and 32 was haters of God? Haters of God. Woo. I bear your death. I bear your death, says the Lord Jesus Christ. In ways that you offended God, I'm going to let God place that burden on me. And I repeat, this is the preaching of the cross. This good news is foolish to individuals that do not believe that God can do such a thing. There's no way that God can justify her and him and them. They did this last week. They did that last month. They used to do this. They used to. They did. I used to. God said, stop all that. The reason why he says what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, they are worthy of death. He is pointing to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the cross. Everything that we are worthy of in light of death, he's saying, I will put it on someone who always had my righteousness, for he can give you my righteousness. For we can give him our sin. You talk about good news. You talk about amazing grace. Nothing can top that. None can top that. Romans chapter 6, last verse in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I want us to keep thinking about God being judgmental. I want us to keep thinking about Genesis chapter 3, that God told mankind, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. This enmity is leading to a death to come. Watch verse 6:23. The wages of sin is what? I did not have to die. But let's see who did, and now he who did, let's see what he offers in exchange. Can we do that? 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our what? Our Lord. So the wages of sin, that's death, the Lord Jesus Christ did for the sake of justifying us, and now he gives us access to his righteousness. What do we have to do? But simply believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the... Do you know what you're doing? You're simply believing and taking God at his word. That's all you're doing. Or somebody asks you, how do you know you're saved? You simply believe, you simply took God at his word, and the gospel that's to be declared today. So you act like that's special. Yeah, I'm boasting in that. I'm boasting in that. I might not believe her, I might not believe him, I might not believe them, but I believe him and what he says in his word. Amen? Let's just look at this again. This gospel. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's something, the same God that told us in Romans 3 that we all fall short of his glory. In Romans 3, the next verse following, he offers us this justification freely. I don't know if it did any better than that. One verse you're telling me I fall short, and the verse immediately you saying how you can give it to me freely. If that ain't good news, what is? Imagine us receiving all of our bills in the mail, and then the following day, the individuals who wrote us the bill tells us, here's a check for you to pay your bills. Are you kidding me? You telling me I owe what I can't pay, and then you give it to me to pay it? And all I got to do is cash the check? That's all I got to do is cash it? Are you kidding me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's start at verse 1. Our Apostle Paul, he says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you do what? Amen. Paul says, if you receive this gospel, I want you to know always and forever, this is where you stand. This is where God sees you now. Verse 2, by which also ye are what?
Amen.
Watch this if. Don't let this if fool you, because it's not meant to fool you.
Amen.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in what?
Amen.
And to believe in vain, it's an emptiness of belief that you simply never believed it. But if you ever did believe it, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 lets you know the moment you believed it, God filled you with the Holy Spirit of promise. I repeat, you did not fill yourself with the Holy Spirit of promise. God filled you with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a lot of seals that I can't break. I can't break that one. And neither can any one of us if we simply believe the gospel that saves. And here it is in verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried. And then he rose the third day according to the scriptures. This is so genius of God. Because man take a lot of pride in being complex. Man take a lot of pride in being smarter than their neighbors. Man take a lot of pride in knowing how to do things that the person next to them can't do. God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove everything that's complex and difficult for the sake of you being saved. Anything that you think you could do or think that you could not do, I'm going to take all that out the way, and I'm going to really see if I make the gospel simple to say to you what you believe. Meaning the only way that you will be in trouble is when this gospel is shared with you, you don't want to believe it because of how simple it is. Because of how simple it is. How many individuals you know that once you share that gospel, how many individuals you know that don't know, that do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth, is turned off when you come around because you try to share with them the simplicity of the gospel? The simplicity of the gospel, how many times does it offend people? It offends people. The simplicity of the gospel? We're still in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's drop down to verse 55. Let's drop down to verse 55. And once again, what we looking at? We simply looking at what? God always have been judgmental against sin. Always planned on being justice with exposing his justice as he stands against sin and for his righteousness. And the one thing I repeat, I don't want you to forget is God never intended for man to fix their sin problem. God never intended for you to fix your sin problem. You know why? You are simply incapable of doing so. You are simply incapable of doing so. Verse 55, 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? Now, this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to boast in what this resurrection and what his righteousness have done and did against sin. Watch this. Watch this. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Check this out. Victory. We want to see what the victory is against. It said in 56, the sting of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. This just said death and sin. God said, I dealt with now. I dealt with a victory that the God who was judgmental, full of justice, now gives us access to his justification because of the victory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of the cross. Stay comfortable with this. It proves that God is judgmental against sin. It proves that he is critical, as critical in a no-nonsense way against sin can be. He proves it. But the big deal about it is what we are going to see in our last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is why Christ had to do for us with what we can never do. We're going to start at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. For those of us who are here today, saved, trust that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, this annual event, this is what ambassadors for Christ look to do. As we're last throughout our daily life. But we look to come together to be what verse 20 says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now this word ambassador has everything to do with doing a service out of your homeland or country. Meaning, I repeat, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. This is where our eternal position is signed, sealed, and delivered in the heavenly places. But yet, we still, in this Adamic body, we still share and express and expose what Christ is doing and how and what he's offering his righteousness ambassadors. We share that good news. We share that gospel. And part of that gospel that we share, it consists of this. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you when Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. Talk about be ye reconciled to God. We want you to have a fellowship with his righteousness. We want that connection with his righteousness. We want you to have, you catch that? With his righteousness. You cannot have that connection with his righteousness if you do not believe the gospel that says.
Amen.
Although he is not imputing your sins against you, although he's not condemning you in a sense that there's no hope, until I believe that gospel that says I do not have his righteousness. Be reconciled to God. Let's talk about this Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most powerful verses in all of scripture. And we have a conversation all day today. I might say that about almost every verse in scripture. Amen.
Amen.
But verse 21, it's really a wake up, don't sleep on verse right here. Verse 21. For he hath made him be sin for us. Stop. This is talking about God the Father and God the Son. God the Father made, and God the Son in agreement with, God the Father made God the Son to be sin for us. This cross is proof that those in connection with sin need to and are worthy of death. The day that thou eatest of this tree, thou will surely die. I repeat, God never intended for man to pay their own sin debt because man was incapable of paying their own sin debt. Before the world began, God always intended to make him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Always intended. God wasn't sweating in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate of that tree that they shouldn't have ate of. Watch how it comes to an end. To be sin for us, I know everybody might not be able to see this. This is what we got to understand about Christ. I know you maybe can't see this, but I got, who knew no sin? Who knew no, the reason why you can't pay, I can't pay my own sin, that I know sin. I know sin, so sin cannot produce righteousness. Only someone who knew no sin can exchange their righteousness for those who fall short of the glory of God. See, the Lord Jesus Christ never fell short of the glory of God. Never. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. Watch how we get back to the point of how it comes to an end. Like, you can see God always intended this. Look at the end of verse 21. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Don't lose these last words. Last two words. In him. I am not made the righteousness of God by myself, based on myself. God, before the foundations of the world, had in mind this great exchange. This great exchange of that ain't love what is. What you are, I'm going to accuse you of falling short of my glory, but I'm going to give you free access to it if you believe the gospel that says. I'm going to accuse you, and then I will give you access to justify you. Is anybody amazed by that? Is anybody sometimes just blown away? Have you ever just studied that? For those of us who already believe it and trust it, and just studied it in the presence of no one and tears just fall. Just looking out your windows and just like, you just sit on the couch and are you kidding me, right? Are you kidding me? Thank you for your time. God bless you all. Is there any comments or questions at this time? Any comments, any questions? Praise God, rejoice in the Lord. Everybody know I'm in Bible college now. I'll be working a lot. Sometimes I'm not here all the time on Sunday. I'm excited, and God can see you, can't you? Praise God. Praise God. Somebody comment, question, praise report. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
It's inspiring to see that.
We should all be more like that, you know.
It's
nice to see
truth
again.
All
Him, right? All Him. Praise the
Lord. The thing is, the verse that comes to mind over here is, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain.
Come on now. If there is any good deed that we could accomplish to produce a righteousness that God would accept, Christ died in vain. There is not a one good deed that anybody could accomplish. That's good news. Anybody? Anyone else? And it's great to see you all. It's great to see you all. Okay. Okay. With that being said, we're gonna say a word of prayer, bring us to a close, and then we're going to break for a couple of minutes, and Pastor Reed will give us the sign when it's time to gather back again. For 5 to 10 minute break. So let's say a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. We thank you for the life that you gave. Your life, Lord, your righteousness, Lord, for you exchanging our sin for your righteousness. And once again, the beautiful thing is you always had this plan, Lord. In spite of knowing our shortcomings, in spite of knowing our failures, in spite of knowing even our hostility towards you, you still did this and always had it in mind, and we just can't thank you enough. We ask that this time of gathering, this outing, this fellowship, that we find ways to exalt you, we find ways to grow in you as we study your word in a rightly divided manner. Bless all those who's here by the studying and the hearing of your word, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 It brings us in up.